winning Perek Yud, morning of David. That's a big table. Good morning. Okay, so we're in Kufnu Lamed Gimel in Perek Yud. We're discussing the Musogim of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. Kiblu Malchusai Va'achar Kach Kiblu Gzeiroi Se Perek Yud. Small Perek Yud? No, Kuf Lamed Gimel. You weren't here yesterday, remember?
Oh, you're right.
That's where we were the day before. That's how much ground we covered. Yeah. Okay. And then we asked a question which we want to grapple with. The question was this, the third paragraph on Kuf Lamed Gimel. Let's read it again and we'll try and see if we can get to some clarity here. If the questioner will ask, what's the big deal? What's the big benefit, the payback? That I know that I'm the spouse, as we've spoken about all the time, that meaning of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the whole purpose of the Bria is dependent on me. These are very elevated, transcendent, wonderful ideas, but at the end of the day, the Maisa, Mazekashuala. So if I am where I am, so then I am where I am. Vim kain keitzad nita in lemamesh dvorim elu. Old question, how do I go from my real to your ideal that you're describing here? That's what he's asking. The wonderful ideas. This is fantastic. Well, money or seems it. What do I do with this? Tshuva dova zehi ki shayla zeh betolf yisoydo. There's something faulty in the question at its foundation. The boundary between Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs has become nitashtesh, it's become blurred. We incorrectly think. We have a feeling that if I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not keeping all the mitzvahs, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not really changing that much, I'm not acquiring all these wonderful levels that we're supposed to be attaining. The simon hay, that is a very clear sign. Shana leid ol malchus shemayim, that we haven't read mekabel ol malchus shemayim. That's what we think. But zeinu nachon, and it's not correct. That is not a correct perspective, although we feel it is. But we have to understand why that's not correct. Just because I'm not keeping the mitzvahs the way I'm supposed to be, and I'm not growing the way I'm supposed to be, doesn't mean that there's a lack in the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. There can be a Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and there can still be an area of the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs isn't exactly what it's supposed to be. Let's see.
Mitzvah observance is not necessarily the same thing, a direct connection to someone that just knows that they're a Jew, you know, wouldn't want to be a boy. That, what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Right, we'll see, there is an aspect of that there, but that's just the aspect. We want to get to the yesod, to the foundation. Not to the branch.
Okay.
The tree, you have a trunk, you have roots, you have branches, you have leaves. We want to get to the sherish of the man, the yesod of the man.
Which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim.
Let's see. No, the sort of the matter is how we understand that you can have Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim intact, even though the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs isn't really what it's supposed to be.
If somebody don't make the mitzvah of the mezid, the shogeg, I understand. The mezid,
I don't believe there's anybody here that we're dealing with at the moment that's being over-evaluated, amazing. certainly not mitzvahs lahachis.
Yeah.
But tayavon, yeah, with the type of grips a person, ulai. But to be over lahachis, to rebel and to anger Hashem, I don't believe it. But I'm saying in this environment, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You're right. Avada that has to be understood. Yeah. But yeah, that's not our problem.
Okay.
There's no. Nobody woke up this morning and said, Hashem, I'll show you. I think that's our problem. Sorry? So you're going to be crazy after another whole Torah as well? You can't be another crazy if you don't read. Yeah, of course. But that's what's it. There's nobody here that has that problem. Nimrod, that was Nimrod. Nimrod was Makiris Viboyo, the scoven Limerade Vaughn. He knew the boy of Olam and he rebelled against him. Of course. You can't rebel against Hashem, you know who he is. Can't hear what? Nimrod was Makiris with bonus, then he discovered Nimrod. So go learn Nimrod and you'll understand how you can do it. The shortest of all evil in the world. You have to understand that. Of course. Paro acknowledged Elohim and in the same breath says, Mi Hashem. Of course, you have to understand. These are subjects you have to learn. Of course. Why was Paro prepared to accept Elohim? He acknowledged Hashem, he acknowledged Elohim. But he wasn't prepared to acknowledge Hashem. Why not? Go learn the sugya. All important sugya. Huh? He wasn't what?
Jewish.
But he saw, he recognized Elohim in the world. He looks at Yosef and he says, is there anyone else in the world who Ruach Elohim Shaira Alav more? He saw Ruach Elohim on Yosef. But Yudkevavka, he wasn't going to accept. Why not? That's what the state is. So
that's Sheva Mitzvot Noah. The Goyim.
Hashem spoke to Noah.
Goyim also.
Goyim of Sheva Mitzvot Noah. They also have to recognize Hashem. They also don't let it be even of other Zorah. What are the Sheva Mitzvot Noah? They have to believe in God. When they're 40. The shaila whether a goy keeps one of the shiva mitzvahs, but not just because he wants to keep it, if he's makan the mitzvah or not, he has to do it because God told him. I think we paskin that he did it just because he felt like doing it. He doesn't kill because he doesn't want to kill. No, that's something else. No, he's not kalos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't have to say bishvilin v'ra'ilom. That's not kalos machum. Kalos machum is dafka by us. The boss of Malchus Shemayim is not shaykh to a group. Bechlal lo. Yes, there's a God. No, knowing there's a God, acknowledging the God doesn't mean the boss of Malchus Shemayim. The boss of Malchus Shemayim, that's the whole point. Where have you been for the last few months? The boss of Malchus Shemayim takes you to a whole new different place. The boss of Malchus Shemayim doesn't mean there's a God. Paro recognized, he saw Elohim. He points it out to his ministers, have you ever seen anyone who Ruach Elohim? He's seen Ruach Elohim when he looks at Yosef. He didn't say, wow, look at this very spiritual young man. No, Ruach Elohim. He looks at Yosef, he sees Elohim. Look about us about Shemaim there. Mi Hashem. I don't know, but I can't find any Yudkevavke anywhere. Me is it? Elohim, yeah, Yudkevavke, no. No, Kabbalah Shemaim takes you to a whole different place. It's not just recognizing Hashem. Noach knew about Hashem. Let's go back to get the basics back there again. Noach knew about Hashem. Moses, Hashem spoke to him. And he listened to him day in and day out for 100 and how many years? 120 years. Every day he was listening to what Hashem told him. He was a Kabbalah Shemaim. He was Magaya. He stayed. Noach, go ahead. Avram Avinu changed that. That's what you're trying to understand. What was their change? Avraham Avinu understood Bishvili Vra'ilam and the Kalos of Nibachir Yisrael. That's what he understood. That was the Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim, and he was Magaya. Huh? No, he didn't. Otherwise, he would have been Avraham. Mr. Shelach Shem Va'eva, none of the greats of the 20 generations from Adam to Avram got the message, no. Otherwise, Avram would have, what was Avram's Bichidish there? Avram's Bichidish was there was one God, correct? Incorrect. You couldn't be more incorrect than that. You couldn't be further from the truth if you think that Avram's Bichidish was one God. It wasn't his Bichidish. People knew about one God. Nimrod was Makir as Boyroi. Adam Arishon, I think, knew there was a God. Noah knew there was a God. Avram met Noah. It's unlikely that Noah didn't mention each other. Avram may have discovered it by himself, but he didn't machadish anything in the world that there's one God. So what was he machadish? That's what we're learning now. This Nakuda, the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim, the Bnei B'chayri Yisrael, the Kalosa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem needs me, that I have something to give Hashem to be off. That Noach didn't know. Noach was a good soldier. You do what you have to do when you're told to do it. Noach did what he was supposed to do, when he was supposed to do it, how he was supposed to do it. You know how I know? Because the Torah calls him a tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? Nobody does what he's supposed to do. Avram wasn't called a tzaddik. What was Avram called? Chosid. Not what we mean chosid today. Avram was a real chosid. Huh? Well done, said your kabbonis. Well done. And Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I don't need your kabbonis. Why are you fouling up my courtyard with your kabbonis? So what is your kabbonis? So he was frum. He was very frum, Noah. Lovely. But he didn't recognize his unique place in the world. He recognized God, but he recognized Noah. That's his problem. It's our problem. We don't have a problem with Imunah and Betochen in Hashem. We have a problem with Imunah and Betochen in ourselves. That's what we're learning here. That's what Avram's doing.
So, Rav Hashem cheat between.
That's right. Noah held when Avram came along and started talking about how he was talking about Noah, held he was wrong. The portion held he was wrong. There were a few more places between Avram and Noah. And Noah was not a fool. You learn the safer, yeah. All the Makairis, everything I'm saying now, we've all anybody else, all he brings all the Makairis here. You don't need to go anywhere else. You want to know where this is written down? I'll give you a short list of where the Makairis of everything I'm saying is. Nefesh HaChaim, Balatanya, Rav Tzadok, the Maharal. I'm telling you where you can find the Makairis in those times, because that's what this safe is. It's a compilation of all those times. So he did us a favor. He gave us a stick of Shulchan Aruch of a stuff here. There's another aspect that Avram Avinu gave us that we're not going into here, which I'm not going to go into now either, and that's the Tetzis approach from Moshe Shapiro, what Avram's Chiddush was. It's a different sugya. We spoke about it once before, but that also has to be learned. What Avram Avinu discovered wasn't God, he discovered mitzvah. He taught the world mitzvah. He didn't teach them about God. They all knew about God. Otherwise, what would they have been? Your question. If Nimrod didn't know about God, why was he rebelling against God? But still, you know, for a very clever man, he was no fool. Okay.
It's a good chazara.
Yeah, I didn't think the chazara was necessary. Well, for him, it's not chazara. I know. He wasn't, yes, he can't find his fault. He doesn't know. That's why we're learning.
That's
why
it's
so we started learning. We didn't know. For us, it's a shtick of chazara.
Yeah, it's good.
The only reason I'm here is because I need to do chazara. I don't know why you guys are here. Messing up my privacy.
You should do it the first time.
I told you how this Vart started. I was finding it hard to learn on us. I got a chumrus, we were learning together. Then another person came, another person came, and then over the years,
now to share.
Came a lot of eavesdroppers here on my private time. And so we don't need it. I said, that's not our problem. We all have imun and betochen in Hashem. We don't have imun and betochen in ourselves. That's where I didn't say we don't need it. It's not a given. You have to work on it. It's hard work. No. It's not a given. Imun and betochen Hashem is not a given. It's hard work. It's a lifetime of very hard work. But that's not where our problem is. We're doing the work. And each day we have a bit more betochen, a bit less. We struggle. We battle. we work on that area. We don't have a problem with that. But who's working on Emunah B'Tochen in themselves? In the B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, in the B'shvili Nivra Olam. That Hashem has borrowed the Olam, I don't think anybody denies. But that he created it only for me? We struggle with that a little bit, not philosophically, not intellectually. We struggle with that in the day-to-day existence. When we're faced with challenges, we're faced with mishainas, we very often sort of push it aside with, well, it doesn't really make that much difference. We don't realize that the whole team of the Bria is Tolu on this farm. That's what we're struggling with. That's what we're trying to mechazik and understand. Okay, let's try and answer the question that isn't a question. There's a question that we mentioned that is a mistake in the beginning. It blurs the boundaries between Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. We're trying to understand how we go about Lamaisa living with this Musag of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and not letting our lack of success in Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs interfere with that. That's really the goal. Shtei Mitzvahs Eilu, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Oim Def, Oim Dois Bifnei Atzmon. They are two independent for the purpose of this discussion. We'll see where they touch, but the purpose of this discussion, you first have to tease them apart, and then you see where they touch. But when they touch again, they'll touch in the right place, not in the wrong place. Mitzvah achas matarosa la'ashis emezu b'libeinu hashkim v'erev. The one mitzvah, its goal is to inculcate, is to allow to take root this truth in our minds, morning, evening, and night. And we have to chazer it and go over it all the time. The inner meaning of this mitzvah is that the world was created for me. And Ibnai Yechida Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only child. And he Kolosa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means exclusively his. I'm the whole reason why the world was created. Because who else is he going to give reward to? Who else is he going to give all the pleasure that he wants to give to? If not me. I can't rely on you to get it. Because maybe you won't. Therefore, I have to. Because if you'll get all the reward, you're not going to give it to me. So I have to take care of myself. Chayecha Koidmi, one of the applications of that. If I'm not going to be for me, if I'm going to do what I have to do, who's going to? Only I can do what I have to do. You have to do what you have to do. Part of doing what I have to do might be to help you do what you have to do. I don't know. We'll see. But that's me, not you. We'll see. We'll see. Yeshli tafkid meyuchad. Sorry, one line above. Ani yochid mamash. If you wanted the chazore, this is a pretty good one. Ani yochid mamash. I'm unique mamash. There never was and never will be anybody like me. As a result of that, therefore, I have a tachlis, a job in this world to do that no one else can do. And if I won't do what I came in the world to do, then the whole purpose of the Bria will be lost. I don't really believe that, but let him say what he's saying. Hashem is standing there, kibyochol, asking me, please. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishonos, ask him, please, I'm begging you, pay attention that you don't destroy my world. What did Adam HaRishon understand? That he mustn't destroy the world? He understood something more important before that. He understood that he had the power to destroy the world. If Hashem asks you, please don't destroy my world, and you can't destroy the world. So, big deal. What's he asking me to do? Hashem says, please, I don't want you jumping over this building. Whatever you do, don't jump over this building. Can you jump over this building? So, what's Hashem asking you not to? And vice versa, if he tells you not to, you can. Oh, so Adam HaRishon understood he could destroy the world. And we need to understand that as well, because it's talking to us also. When When you start thinking like this, this fills you up with the right emotional feelings. Because I received the gift. Enormous, 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 awesome, wonderful gift that exists. Nothing bigger.
Here's the answer to the question.
Which question? The question that's not a question.
Yeah.
We haven't got there yet. Shtei mitzvos halalu. Put down the one on the table. You put down the other one and then you see where they touch. We haven't even finished putting the first one on the table. This is not Gemara. This you actually have to know. This can taste this. This you really have to get clear.
No, I'm saying...
Sorry, no, we're just in the choices that we just don't understand. That's what
I'm saying. Very nice.
We haven't said anything yet.
Well, even this, yeah? The whole world did it just for me. Mm-hmm. It's a funny thing to even think like, yeah, you're right. You know?
So you haven't got the...
I'm trying to be real.
So you haven't learned the foundations.
Okay.
You haven't learned the foundations.
I understand. I understand that.
No, let's get real. Why did Kosh Bokhan create the world? If you what we've been taught by our
just for me.
Why? Not who? Why? Why
to give me schar for
to give pleasure.
To give, right.
Chesed, yeah? To give. What's the ultimate good that he wants to give you? What's the greatest good that there is in the world?
Hashem.
Huh? Hashem himself. To get the pleasure from who? From Hashem. To be with Hashem. That's the greatest pleasure. Okay. So give it to me. What's the problem? I'm happy to take. No. The Rabbi came up the one day and he said he's got a real problem. It's Erev Pesach and the people aren't giving enough stock. There's chaset stock in the stocker pot in the Mos Chitin. There's not enough to give their names. So I've said, what's the problem? Friday night, everyone's in shul. You've got a captive audience. Give a rousing drosha and encourage people to give. Great idea. Friday night, he gets up and gives a way bigger drosha. He comes on his wife, said, how was it? He said, I was 50% successful. What's 50% successful? The poor are prepared to take. That's the start. This is the start. Okay, you get it? So I'm prepared to take, so give. No, what's the problem? Hashem says, I can't. You know why? I'm not getting into why it has to be that way, but it has to be that if you don't earn it, there's going to be what's called bread of shame. When you get something as a freebie, it doesn't feel so good. You feel better when you work for it, you earned it. You know?
Okay, yes.
Why is she meant to create the world? Like it's created not like that. I'm not going to know. That's a fascinating discussion. I'm not going to know. Therefore, you have to earn it. So Hashem says, fine, I'll put you in an environment where you can choose to earn it, you can choose not to earn it.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's good.
So why are you in the world? Is to give Hashem the opportunity to do what he wants to do, which is to give, because that's all he wants. So I now become a shooter for my celebrations. If I choose not to accept what Hashem wants to give me, he can't fulfill the purpose of the prayer. You get that intellectually clear?
Yeah.
So that's your real. Now go live like that. That's what we're talking about.
I'm saying,
you have now been Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim. You now were Kabbalah or Malchus Shemayim. Now in your day-to-day life, start becoming aware of the struggles in this area.
That part I find it's a little easier, but
the intellectual part's always easy. I'm saying now take
the part was bothering me is like, really everything is made just for me? Is
yes.
That really true?
Okay. I don't know. Chazal, and to the best of my knowledge, Chazal never lied.
100%.
And if Chazal say that I'm chayav every day, I'm chayav every day. It's not an eitz tova. I'm chayav every day to say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam, then I assume they're telling the truth. Ah, it's hard to swallow. Okay, that's your real. Now go from real. Start slowly moving. See how you can slowly, that's what we're doing here. Not really, especially when I'm about to do an Aveira, then those thoughts fly out the window, because if they didn't, I wouldn't do the Aveira. That's where the battleground is. But you first have to learn the rules of the game. You have to understand the shetach. And then you have to go in there and start functioning.
It's like a simulator. Everything is for you.
You
have to find ma chavosa bolamai. The Mesilas Yerushalayim says nothing starts until you understand ma chavosa bolamai, and it's in the singular. It's a big pity. Had he written in the plural, it would be much easier.
It's a gush. He
wrote it in the singular. Ma chavosa bolamai. What's your chiyuv in your world? in your world, Mishwili Nibraila. I mean, his world, Mishwili Nibraila, Mazel Kushwalai. What am I looking into his world for Mazel Kushwalai, his world?
What does it mean then? Tindat Kushwal, it's got the Sachi Salami.
Don't destroy my world.
Spiritual thing?
No, there's a. No, whoa, whoa, don't make that mistake. Rahman al-Islam, don't make that mistake. You can't say Shema in the bathroom. This is not a virtual fantasy world. This is a real world with real issues and real problems, and you can blow it badly. You can't say Shema in the bathroom. That's an old machlekas. I want to go into that now. No, this world's real.
I'm trying to say.
You know why this world's real? I'll show you why this world's real. I'll prove it to you. He said that many times. Not enough. I tried to get him to say it more, and he never did. He had a Moindika Shia on what's called Yichud Hashem. You're out in the desert. It's late. You're out in the desert. Yeah. And you tsame. You're very thirsty. And you daven and daven and daven. And it's just before Yetzias Nisham. Yeah. And the clouds open up and a hand comes out of Shemayim with a chatpami cup with a cold glass of water. With your last energy, you make a shakol and you drink it. You make an after brocha. Now, what do you do with the cup?
You have more.
You throw it away. It's a chatpami cup. If I ask you to give me a glass of, you know, you make me coffee, I'll have to throw the cup away. This cup, do you throw away or not? Why not? It's a nice souvenir. You could make a lot of money out of this cup. I know where you're going with this.
Drink. Drink.
What do you mean?
Without the cup, there was water just on the floor. You need a
cup. Hashem needs a cup in order to get me water, or he could have done it without the cup.
Without,
oh, and therefore, nonsense. And therefore, if you get into the cup has significance in and of itself. No, in and of itself, the cup must be significant. Otherwise, why did Hashem give me the cup?
Because we can drink it out.
Yeah, he could have just pushed a button and you filled up with water. Hashem, whatever the alternative was. But he didn't need to give you a cup. If he did, the cup is not just a means to an end. It must be an end of itself. Therefore, this world is not just a means to an end. It must somewhere be an ending of itself. Because Hashem could have done this many other ways. That means everything we do in this world has significance. It's real. It's not just a stage where you get to act out just because Hashem wants to kind of, you know, think. No, it's real. There's real stuff going on here. There's real pain and there's real suffering and there's real stuff happening in this world. It's not just a veneer. It's that as well. When you pierce through the veneer, when you're able, like Yaakov Avinu was able to get to MS Yaakov, when you can pierce through the journey of Imuna and climb through the dark world of Imuna and break through into the world of Emes, then you'll understand what it means. Einod Milvado. But in the meantime, we live in the Oilam. Le Oilam. We live in this world. This world's real. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's not.
Okay. I'm not saying that, but Tachlis, yeah?
Tachlis, I'm talking Tachlis.
Can it actually destroy the world?
What does it mean to destroy the world? Doesn't mean to push an atom bomb and the world goes boom. Okay, to destroy the world means is that you don't receive the reward you're supposed to receive. That's how you destroy the world. Because what was the purpose of the world in the first place? Was to give you reward. And if you choose not to get the reward, you've just destroyed the world. It says, Ten Daitke Shalot the Kalkil Tahislami. It doesn't say, hey, careful, don't push the atom bomb. It says, just Hesech Hadas is enough to destroy the world. Ten Daitcha. That means, what's the opposite of Ten Daitcha? Hesech Hadas. Hesech Hadas can destroy the world, yeah. Why? Because the purpose of the world is to give you schar. And if you choose not to get the schar, well, Hashem's hands are tied. Well, therefore, you just destroyed the world. You destroyed Hashem's world. You destroyed Hashem's world. What's still here? What world are you talking about? I'm not worried about this world. This world's not where Hashem's going to give you the schar. The schar that he wants to give is on Olam Haba. You're just not going to be there. So you'll be there, but you won't have place. Ein mokum.
What about this?
Kunim tzasham, but ein lo mokum. Which means you destroyed Hashem's world, because Hashem only created the world to give you schar. And if you're not going to get the schar, Hashem's purpose of creating his world doesn't get fulfilled. You just blew Hashem's world out of the water. Okay, if that comforts you, that's fine. If the fact that you're not going to be alone in Gehenna and you're going to be somebody saying hello to all your friends, you won't have time to be suffering too much. If that comforts you, that's fine. But I've got news for you. You're alone there and here.
To punish me.
How could it be finite? The reward I want to say I want to give you is Netzach Netzachim. Olam Haba is Netzach Netzachim. Anachnu Ama Netzach. What Hashem wants to give you is all eternity. If you don't earn that, you're not going to get it. So that all eternity that Hashem created to you, that Olam Haba that you're creating for yourself as you're going along, is not going to be there. That's Hashem's world. You just destroy it. If you don't do what you came in this world to do, what did you come in this world to do? What did you come into this world to do? What did you come into this world to do? To earn the chesed that Hashem wants to give you. Right? If you chose not to, then you, that's it. Sorry? When we're discussing a definition and a principle, it's black and white. Then you have to take the principle and see how it manifests in application, which is what you're trying to do. You first have to nail down the principles. You keep going to the application. It's like when you're learning a halacha and you haven't understood the halacha properly, and people ask you, but what about if? You understand? I can't answer your question because we haven't learned the principle yet. What if? You know, what if questions? People ask what if questions in Gemara sharing. You heard that before? Right? Always. Get rid of that. It's not helpful. But what would happen if? What would happen if what? Have you understood the principle? If you don't know what that one and one is two, but what if you have two and four? I don't know. First, let's understand what one and one is. I'm trying to understand one plus one. When I've understood the principles, I've defined my terms and exactly what I'm talking about, then we look at all the different discussions. You know, there's no reward for a mitzvah in this world. Correct? Yeah, but not correct. There's a Mefurish Mishnah that says you get reward in this world for certain mitzvahs. But it said you can't. So you have to learn a whole super problem. The diamond has got many facets. You have to be able to look at all the facets and understand how this works and that works and that works. You can't do that till you've defined your terms and understood what the rules of engagement are. Otherwise, you can just blonze around, you know, say all nice things that you heard, not understand anything. You're trying to understand the principle. If Hashem says 10 daikha shenot takrib es olami, then yes, it's possible to destroy Hashem's world. And we understand it's poshut. I understand it's poshut. You understand it's poshut. Just don't do what you can in the world to do to destroy Hashem's world. Yes. And yesh kul Yisrael yesh kelev lacham abba. But we'll deal with all the first. I have to understand the principle. Yes, I understand the principle. There's no reward for a mitzvah in this world. But Hashem says, I'm giving you a reward for certain mitzvahs in this world. Huh? That's an understand. Why these? Why not? It's a sugya. You start at the bottom, you dig the foundations, and you build the sugya until you come to understand the sugya. Or you just, you know, you climb in on the seventh floor because you heard a few things, and now you kind of, well, I don't understand anything because you haven't understood the foundation. Shairesh the Yasod. You need to understand the foundations and the roots of things. Then you see how they branch out and how they manifest. When I'm looking at the trunk of a tree, you can't ask me about the leaves. But I want to understand the leaves if I understand the trunk. You ever learned Rambam? You can't learn Rambam without understanding this. In the Rambam, there's trunks, there's branches, there's leaves, there's sub-branches. If you're in a leaf and you think you're in the branch or in the roots and you think you're in a leaf, you're in a lot of trunks. You don't understand anything. You have to get clarity. You have to have a proper filing cabinet. Well, it's just we try to build things from the bottom. Yeah. Know what you know and know what you don't know. Fill in the gaps. Okay.